and I think about what happens to me after I die. And this cold terror like grips my heart, and my heart starts racing, and the concept of nothingness swallows me whole. And I lay there tense and aching because I just love this life so much. When did the pervasive American culture become afraid of passing on to the other side? Reverend Dr. Barbara Kuiman says, in Western culture, it has been relatively recently, largely in the 20th century, that the end-of-life process has been detached from the home and put into special places, often clinical ones, such as hospitals or nursing homes. Death has become detached from life in a way that previous generations did not know. It seems that we moderns hope that we can outrun death, or at least avoid it, by passing it on to medical specialists. So at best, we have taken a detachment from death, and perhaps for most Westerners, we now have a fear of death. Octavio Paz, a renowned Mexican author, observes that, undaunted by death, the Mexican has no qualms about getting up close and personal with death, noting that he, quote, chases after it, mocks it, courts it, hugs it, sleeps with it. It is his favorite plaything and his most everlasting love. Now, you might think this is a slight exaggeration, but I will never forget this birthday party for mi papá down in Tijuana and when he turned 75. We were there with all of my tíos and tías and my primos and primas and my brothers and sisters, and I will never forget him. He was there in all of his bravado and swagger, yelling at death as he drank. The bottle and his eyes glowing in the light as he laughed and celebrated not only his life, but remembered the lives and history of our family long since buried. Raising his glass in a toast to the family surrounding him and the family that had passed, he downed his drink and challenged death to take him. I remember thinking, oh my God, how ready he is, how at peace and how intimately he knows death, having danced with her a number of times on the battlefields of Korea and more recently in the VA hospital in San Diego, each time shaking off her grasp and promising that they would tango later. He lives his life very much like the Tree of Life and the skeletons on it that we see frequently during our Day of the Dead celebrations. His, my relatives are always there with him. He talks about them all the time. It's like they never left. After his toast, Papa and I were listening to music and watching the generations talk and laugh and eat when he turned to me, Alison. And he says this in a really deep and gravelly voice because he had a tracheotomy because he smoked cigarettes since he was 13. Don't smoke cigarettes, kids. And I said, "See, Papa, death is a woman and she will not come for me." He announces to me, and surprised I look at him, and I said, "We all die, Papa." And I look into his eyes that are his, but also mine, and I see a mirrored amusement and mischievousness glinting back at one another. And I decide to take the bait. I say, "Oh, really? She will not come for you?" And he shakes his head solemnly. "She has visited me a few times, but she is afraid of me." Uh-huh. "She will not come, for she is afraid. I will impregnate her." We laugh and laugh and laugh because 10 plus children later, his virility is legendary. Because of his intimate knowledge of la muerte and the way the cultura deals with death, there is no fear. A healthy dose of respect, yes, but death is no longer wrapped in a cloak of mystery and therefore has no fear of that ending. There are three stages of death in the Mexican culture. Victor Landa talks about this process. In our tradition, he says, people die three deaths. The first death is when our bodies cease to function, where our hearts no longer beat of their own accord, and when our gaze no longer holds any depth or weight, and when the space that we slowly occupy loses its meaning. The second death comes when the body is lowered into the ground, returned to Mother Earth and out of sight. And the third, the most definitive death, is when there is no one left alive to remember us. Because this holiday is so entwined with the past, it inevitably casts shadows and implications on the future. We live through our stories our families tell of us. We live on literally through the heartbeat of our children. The blood that runs through our veins was handed down to us by our parents. And as many of you have given birth or have raised children, you will be remembered. Your legacy will live on through them. Whether or not they choose to honor you with an ofrenda, a headstone, or a memorial wall, you are honored by their very heartbeat. But without those, like myself, who have chosen not to bring a child into existence, my question remains, will my third death be swift? Will the blood, tears, and earth we have moved be forgotten so quickly? No, I don't believe so. This beautiful religion of ours has given me courage to challenge what has always been done. Through Unitarian Universalism, I take the literal translation of what it is to be remembered through bloodlines in the tradition of Dia de los Muertos celebration and think about legacy in terms of heart moments. Instead of DNA codes and strands, I interpret and see legacies and lineages of love. While I have not felt a child grow in my uterus, I have placed my hands on many pregnant bellies and whispered blessings. As a director of religious education, I have had the honor to hold newborns and officially welcome them into the world through naming ceremonies and baby dedications. I have tended to skinned knees and crying eyes and bruised souls. Sitting in hospitals, I have held teenagers riddled with despair. And I have rocked them in my arms as they cried, hopeless in their depression, and have also seen the miracle of their inner strength as they stand on their own feet again. These heart moments are sacred moments. We weave our lives together forever, and through Unitarian Universalism, we have given children and ourselves the legacy and power of love to navigate the world on our own terms. Ours is not a faith in the traditional sense. Ours is not a family in the traditional sense. Regardless of our lineage, our ethnic heritage, we are here together this morning as a beloved community, a family. For every moment spent in love and conflict, and most importantly, the resolution of that conflict, for every moment that we listen, witness the tears, and acknowledge the pain felt and caused by us, the responsibility we take, it heals. It heals us and makes us stronger. Written in my soul and my heart, I know my legacy will beat on through what we forge together and what we mend together. In the end, one does not need to be recognized by stories. For our history is written into the very essence of each other.